locally owned and operated.
The American people are waiting. Have you a statement?
1230 The Voice is WXCO Wausau.
Good morning and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we conclude our verse by verse study through the book of Colossians. We resume our study in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, and we have a lot of ground to cover, so let's begin with prayer and get right at it. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And I hope you've been with us since the beginning of this book, and I hope you have a Bible in front of you right now. And if you do, open it up to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, lie not, and he's talking to Christians, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Doesn't matter what the psychology behind lying is. I'm sure there's psychology behind all sin. You know, there's a human excuse for every bad thing that people do. And there has been ever since Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent. And none of it matters. Because the fact is, everyone is treated badly at some point. But that's no excuse for sin. Everybody has had mean things said to them. That's no excuse for sin. Everyone is tempted at some point, but that's no excuse for sin. Remember, Jesus was treated badly. He had terrible things said to him and said about him. He was sinned against, and he never sinned. So God doesn't say, try to figure out why you do it. He simply says, as he says here, don't do it. And if you're a Christian, you have the power to say no to sin. Again, verse 9 and 10, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Our new nature in Christ is renewed in knowledge, the Bible says. That means that as our understanding of God increases, our godliness will increase. Knowing the Bible is a step to holiness that cannot be skipped. The more we think about Jesus as Christians, the more we know about Jesus, the more Jesus will rub off on us, and that's the goal. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, ethnic, social, economic barriers, they all disintegrate in Christ. They should. Jesus is the thing that matters to a spirit-filled Christian. You know, any Christian who feels superior to another Christian simply because they are of a different race or they don't dress as well is full of sin and spiritually warped. There is no envy. Neither are there feelings of superiority in Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. A highly educated Christian is not going to look down upon one who has no education. One who has no education will not be envious towards one who has a lot of education. What difference do these things make? When you're walking with the God of the universe, what difference do these things make? When you're walking with the God of the universe and continuing with him day by day, everything else becomes secondary at best. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against anyone, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Think of all the sins that you have committed, which God has forgiven if you're a Christian. Just think about that. Think about how grateful you have been to receive that forgiveness. Think about how unworthy you have felt of that forgiveness and how much you have appreciated God's kindness. Think about all those things and then go out and treat others the way God has treated you. That's what this verse is saying. You know, God puts up with our sins, even though He hates them more than we could possibly know. He is patient with us and He forgives us when we confess. And now God wants us to bear with the imperfections of others and forgive their sins against us when they confess or when they apologize. You say, well, that's the problem. They don't apologize. So now what? Well, now pray for them and be nice to them, because God makes the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. In other words, He does good things for those who do bad things to Him. 14. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You know, loving God and loving others by the power of the Holy Spirit is the most uncomplicated way of doing what is right. We don't have to be concerned about the details of God's law if we simply love God and love others. Because if we love God and others, the moral details of the law will take care of themselves. Plus, you're doing it the right way. Because everything becomes a labor of love, which is the way it should be for Christians. 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, living right will make us feel right on the inside. Being at peace with God, because we don't have any unconfessed sins in our life, makes us to be at peace with ourselves. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Notice what he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. A little bit of the Bible is better than nothing. But we don't have to settle for a little bit of the Bible. There's no reason to settle for a little bit. God wants us to be filled with the Word of God. He says, let it dwell in you richly. Which means that a large part of whatever leisure time we have as Christians should be used for learning what the Holy Bible says. You know, the people in America will be much more accountable to God than the people who lived in the Dark Ages, or maybe the people who lived in the old Soviet Union, because those people didn't have access to the written Word of God like we do. We are so privileged. And of course, with privilege comes responsibility. And you talk about a hunger for the Word of God. You know, the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which can be found, by the way, at thebibleversebyverse.com, I would say maybe 60% of the people that go to my website are from Russia. And don't ask me how that happened. I don't know, but it certainly is happening. And so they've definitely got a hunger for the Word of God there, and they're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. Filling themselves with the Word of God. That's so important. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, filling ourselves with the Word of God takes time and energy. And it means saying no to other things. But it will change us from the inside out. If you want to be singing in your heart to God, which sounds like a pretty happy life to me, then fill yourself with the Word of God like verse 16 says. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. And one way to make that happen is by filling yourself with the Bible. 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, don't do anything that Christ would not approve of. Don't do anything that Jesus wouldn't do. If you're a Christian, represent Him well Because, like it or not, as a Christian, you do represent him. When people look at you, they get a picture of what Christianity is, at least in their mind, and what Jesus is like. So, very important to do all things in the name of Jesus, as verse 17 says. And then verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. In other words, wives are told by God to respect their husband's God-given authority. You know, someone has to drive. In fact, submission and leadership is inevitable. Everybody submits to someone. And God says in the home, it is the husband who is the leader. And of course, that doesn't mean that a husband has a blank check from God to do whatever he wants or to make his wife do whatever he wants her to do. In fact, a wife should not listen to her husband if he tells her to do something that is contrary to the word of God. But other than that, according to the word of God, she should let him lead. Let me say this. And God is talking to Christians here. He's not talking to people who don't know Christ. So if you're not a Christian, you don't know Christ, you can disregard this. Because he's talking to his people. And to be frank with you, you wouldn't understand the why of these things anyway. Many Christians don't understand the whys of this. Because worldliness has crept into Christianity in such a significant way, at least in this country. But I'll tell you this, if a Christian woman doesn't trust a man's walk with the Lord enough to let him lead, then she shouldn't marry him in the first place. And if a Christian man is looking for a woman to marry, he should not marry a woman who won't let him lead. Otherwise, you're getting off on the wrong foot with God right off the bat. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. See, there's the flip side. God is quick to add, authority does not mean abuse. A husband should bend over backwards to be good to his wife and loyal to his wife. A Christian husband should treat his wife like she's more important than he is. That is what God commands him to do here in verse 19 when he says, love your wife. 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Rebellion in children must not be tolerated. Children owe it to God to obey and respect their parents. They owe it to God. 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Overbearing fathers who treat their children like unwanted guests will answer to God for their sinful, self-centered lack of natural affection. And you know what? A child can tell when a father likes them and when he doesn't. And a child can tell when a father is disciplining them because he cares or just whipping them because he's angry or worse yet, doesn't even like them. And God will hold the father responsible for discouraging their child by an unloving, overly harsh attitude towards them. 22. Servants, obey all things, in all things, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And this is talking about employers and employees. Employees are to work hard and to do everything their boss wants them to do, whether the boss is watching or not. He continues in 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. God says if you are an employee, then you should do your work well. God says do it well in order to please Christ. Hard work pleases Christ. Goofing off on the job displeases Christ. And our work as Christians, whatever it may be, should be a ministry unto the Lord. We are serving God with the work that we do. 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In other words, payday is coming for every Christian who works hard and does it to please Christ. God keeps track of how we do our job, and he will reward our efforts on judgment day. 25. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. And so we see that God does not play favorites. He will reward good behavior and he will punish bad behavior. You know, God is sentimental. He does have that side. But he does not allow that to override his justice. Chapter 4, here's the flip side. Masters, or employers, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Employers, God says, are to be fair to those who work for them. Be fair to them. And so God wants employers to honestly do their best to treat their employees well. He wants the employers to pay them a fair wage and provide the best working conditions possible. Something that everyone should remember. You know, we may be the boss at work, or we may be the boss at home or in school or wherever the case may be, but everybody has a boss in heaven. Everyone is accountable to someone, and everyone is accountable to God. And one day God will call all people, employers and employees, into his office and give them their evaluation. Let's take a break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. Please listen to this. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
Another evolutionist comes to the wrong conclusion. Learn about it next on Today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
Creation scientists have often complained that evolutionists seem unscientifically eager to turn any ancient fossil into proof of human evolution. In the past, bones from pigs, monkeys, alligators, horses, and even an elephant have been reconstructed into missing links between humans and ape-like creatures. A more recent example caused the respected magazine Science News to note that even some evolutionists have begun to discuss anthropologists' overzealous pursuit of human ancestry. In 1979, a bone discovered in northern Africa was described as a hominoid clavicle. In plain English, the bone was said to be the collarbone of a creature that was an ape becoming a man. Its discoverer said that the bone indicated that its owner had possibly even walked upright, like modern humans. As in most of these claims, its discoverer said that it was the oldest evidence yet for the evolution of modern man. Others studied the fossil bone over the next few years, and they came to the conclusion that it was in fact the rib bone from a Pacific white-sided dolphin. One scientist jokingly nicknamed the creature Flippopithecus, meaning the dolphin ape. Now, we need to take care that we don't become over-impressed by the conclusions of scientists with lots of letters behind their names. When it comes to supporting evolution, many scientists are driven more by their desire to prove evolution than by any of the facts.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
We're back. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. If you want to be a part of this ministry, that would be great. You can be by praying for us. If you would pray for us every day, that would be wonderful. Just pray that God would use his word and bless his word as we teach it verse by verse. And also, you can be a part of this ministry by your financial support. You can write to Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thank you. Back to our study, Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Masters, or employees, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. We covered that before the break. Verse 2, God says to Christians, continue in prayer and watch in it with thanksgiving. In other words, God is saying, don't quit praying simply because God hasn't answered the way you hoped he would. God's part is to decide which answer is correct. Our part is to continue to pray earnestly. And so don't let your feelings stop you from praying. And don't let discouragement keep you from praying. God says continue to be vigilant in your prayers. Be vigilant, knowing that there are certain things that God simply will not do unless we pray for them. And don't ask me why, but that's why he set it up. And be vigilant, even when God seems to be answering your prayers slowly. You know, if God is answering your prayer slowly, it's because he is using the slow, And if God is answering our prayers by saying no, it's because he's using the no. 3, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You know, the Apostle Paul was chained in prison for preaching the Bible and for preaching Jesus. But did you notice that his prayer request here was for more opportunities to preach Jesus? You know, he didn't care what happened to him. He didn't care what he had to sacrifice in order to preach the Word of God. He preached the Word of God, and he preached Jesus because it burned in him like a fire, just like it did in Jeremiah. He did what he did for the Lord with zeal because he loved Christ, and that's the way it should be for all Christians. He says, I'm in prison for preaching the Bible, so pray that I'll have more opportunities to preach the Bible. Okay. Verse 4, he continues, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, he wanted to preach Christ, and he wanted to preach the Word of God clearly, even though the clearer one preaches the Bible, the more likely they are to rub the rebellious the wrong way. But no matter what it costs a preacher, he should preach the Word of God clearly, because if a man isn't preaching the Word of God clearly enough to anger the wicked, he's not preaching it clearly enough to bless the godly either. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are outsiders, redeeming the time. The outsiders would be non-Christians. And he's speaking to Christians here, of course, and he says, redeem the time. Walk like Jesus. Live by Christ in this world. We cannot help it if the world thinks that we are foolish for behaving like Jesus. I mean, the world thought Noah was a crackpot because he spent 100 years building an ark in an area that never rained and wasn't even close to a lake or an ocean. They thought he was out of his mind. Can't help that. If people think we are crazy for behaving like Jesus, well, I guess that's their problem. The important thing as Christians is not to be foolish, not to be a foolish Christian, saying and doing things that have nothing in the world to do with the Word of God. We are to redeem our time, and we do that by acting and talking and loving and showing compassion and being unselfish like Christ was when he was here. 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Speak the truth, or it doesn't pay to speak at all. Speak the truth, but always be courteous, is what God is saying. That's what he wants from Christians. And then verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. What we should do, or I should say what we do as Christians, should be for the benefit of others. That should be a ruling principle in all that we say and all that we do. If it will help someone, if it will make life a little bit better for someone, then we know that God would be pleased if we do it. Verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. He calls Onesimus and Tychicus faithful brothers. Christians are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are brothers and sisters because we are all members of God's family. And you think about a family should be there for each other, right? And Christians should be there for each other also. Christianity is not just a religion. Christianity is a family, with everyone doing their part to make it better and to be helpful in order to please our Heavenly Father. 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, cousin to Barnabas, concerning whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Mark is mentioned here in verse 10, and if you've ever read the book of Acts, you know that as a young Christian, Mark bailed out on Paul and Barnabas on a missionary trip. He just panicked and left. But clearly Mark hung in there with Christ. and he continued to grow spiritually, and he became a strong, trustworthy Christian man. And so the lesson for us is this: don't let sin and failures keep you from pressing on with Christ, because we all fail, but we will all get better if we don't quit. 11, and Jesus, who is called Justice, of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, who have been a comfort unto me. And he needed it. It's good for Christians to try to be a source of comfort for other Christians who are going through hard times. You know, we might not be able to change someone's circumstances for the better, but we can give them the Word of God, and we can encourage them to have an eternal perspective about things, which is the most important thing. 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and them that are at Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. And then verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. I'm afraid, and I have heard this, that the so-called elitist of the world, at least some of them, think that intelligence and Christianity are polar opposites. But the Apostle Paul was highly educated. He had the best education that one could receive in those days. Spoke three languages. Luke, the man he mentions here, was a doctor. You know, Scripture and the message of salvation through Jesus Christ are very logical if you understand them correctly, because God is logical. Spiritual discernment and godliness are not dependent on a high intellect, but they're not opposed to it either. 15. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. Churches met in private homes back in those days. They really didn't have much choice, since they were persecuted by the Roman Empire and they didn't have any money. But the church did very well in those days. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for a church to have a building, but there's something to be said for churches and ministries keeping things simple, too. It's a lot easier on the people involved, and they can devote their time to the relationship with Christ and the ministry that God has called them to do. 16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the mystery which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. That you fulfill it. Because it's easier to start out well doing something for the Lord than it is to persevere once the newness wears off. And so when the initial excitement of something wears off, that's when hard work and determination and faith have to take over. And when doing something for Jesus is no longer fun and no longer easy, when giving to Christ is no longer convenient, then the real Christians are separated from nominal Christians. 18. The salutation by my hand, or by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you, amen. Paul says, remember my bonds, or remember my chains. He's saying, remember my lousy situation, and it was. He says, remember it. And remembering Paul's chains, as he was confined in the smelly, damp dungeon known as the Mamertine prison, should help us to remember many things as Christians. For example, remember that Jesus never said life would be easy if we were sold out to him. Remember that whatever we are asked to endure by Christ is worth enduring. And remember that we are to live a comfortable, we are to live for a comfortable eternity, more than a comfortable here. And remembering Paul's chains, as he was so faithful to Christ, will help us to remember that as Christians, we are asked to sacrifice the self-indulgent life for the godly life, if need be. And the Apostle Paul did not ask to be remembered because he wanted others to feel sorry for him. He wanted Christians to remember his suffering so that their values and their priorities would be in line with heaven's values and heaven's priorities. and I am out of time. So if you have any questions or comments, you can write me scripture verse by verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's scripture verse by verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thank you for spending this time with
me. We invite you to listen to the